I'm calling the meeting to order. It is 11 o'clock, time to start. And as I said, hopefully we can get through our agenda today. And I'm going to ask the secretary to begin the roll call. So everybody listen up for your name.
Okay, good morning. Do we need the lights on? Are people good? Okay. Okay, so let's get started. I'm going to go through the usual list, starting with Agamir. Agamir is not here. Bernstein. Here. Bernstein is here. Drake.
Here.
Drake is here. Fest.
Here.
Fest is here. Futron. Futron is not here. Gans.
Present.
Gans is present. Goldmacher.
Present.
Goldmacher is present. Con Hallinan.
Con Hallinan is out of town and asked to be excused for this meeting.
Okay, Con Hallinan is not here. Matthew Hallinan?
Same thing.
Also not here. Johnson?
Here.
Johnson is here. Kim? Kim will be late. Okay, Allmarker is not here for the moment. Kurzweil? Kurzweil is not here. Okay, Knorr? Knorr is not here. Pritchett? Pritchett is not here. Privis? Okay, Privis is here. Rosenberg?
Here, and Andrea Pritchett asked for an excused absence, and Shram Agamir will be about 15 minutes late.
Okay. Okay, Russell? Russell is here. Sawyer?
He's in the building.
He's in the building. Okay, well, I will mark him as not here for the moment. Siegel?
Here.
Siegel is here. Sterling?
Right.
Sterling is here. Tanaka?
Here.
Tanaka is here. Sorry, that's Akio. Kate Tanaka?
She'll be here in a few minutes.
Okay, I'll mark her as not here for the moment. Turner? Turner is not here. Wilkinson?
Here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers?
Here.
Withers is here. So that's 13 present, which means we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. The chair will entertain him. I'm sorry. I've been out of town for a week. I was in the woods with my grandchildren all week this past week. I have not read email since last Sunday. So if any of you sent me anything, I haven't seen it. And so I'm a little, getting back in the groove. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to excuse Andrea Pritchett, Con, and Matthew Hallinan. I think those were the three that I heard that requested an excused absence. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, are there any objections to this motion? No objections? All right, thank you. The members who request an excused absence have been excused. And we are ready to approve the agenda. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Seeing none, it's been moved and seconded that the agenda be adopted as presented. Is that...
it's totally cool, but someone should second it. Nobody did.
Yes, it was seconded, I'm sorry, by Ms. Russell. Thank you. are there any objections to the agenda as presented? Seeing no objections, I will. The agenda is accepted. All right. We're now ready to move on to the approval of the minutes. Are there any questions about the... minutes, any additions? Tracy.
It looks to me, although I'm checking Craig, there were two teeny tiny things that I asked you to fix, which I think you did. Looks like it. I'm just double checking. A name spelling and an address change.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Any other corrections to the minutes? Oh.
I just want to point out, after I circulated the minutes the other day, Sasha Futron reminded me that we had a discussion item at the end of the last meeting on, the big picture, which I had failed to include in the minutes, so they are included in this draft at the very end.
Thank you. Seeing no additions or corrections to the minutes, the chair will entertain a motion to approve. And is there a second? Thank you. So it's been moved by Mal Bernstein, seconded by Susie Goldmacher. Are there any objections to adopting the minutes? Therefore, the minutes are approved. We're now ready for public comments, although I don't see, except for Kate, not much public. Thank you for coming. perhaps we should move the public comments to a little bit later in the agenda and give people a chance who want to come to do that.
Yeah.
All right. So I would suggest that we move public comments to just before item 9. Okay. We are now ready for announcements. Any members of the board have announcements they'd like to make? Frank.
Okay, it's just like a news announcement. I'm sure some of you heard, but maybe some of you haven't, that the hikers got sentenced to 8 years this morning. The two hikers from Berkeley in on the border of Iran, and they got sentenced to 8 years, 3 for the illegal crossing and 5 for the spying, quote-unquote spying. So just a bit of news in case you didn't know that. I don't know what that means, but they're going to jail for 8 years. They've been there 2, so hopefully at the end of Ramadan, maybe they still have hope to get out then.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Thank you. Any other announcements? All right. Thank you very much. So the IGM is not here yet to make his report. I assume he's coming, although I haven't had any communication with him directly this week. But in the previous week, I spoke to him, and he indicated he would be here and would have a report. So I think we're ready to take up the treasurer's report. Is the treasurer ready for us? Should we switch the if there's no objection, Maria will be here at 11:30 to participate in the treasurer's report. We could do the committee reports now. Is that okay with people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have, we have 40 minutes. We have 6 committee reports. So whatever that comes out to be, a little less than 5 minutes each. I ask the members of the PMB to report on the PMB. You want to start, Laura? No?
There hasn't been that much activity. We have a meeting coming up later in the month. We had an executive session where we took care of some more lawsuit business. we are having a meeting, an in-person meeting in the third weekend in September. It's going to be 4 days long in Washington, D.C., and that's moving forward. So there was a lot of contention over whether we would have an in-person meeting and when it would be. So we do have that coming up. I don't know if anybody else wants to add anything.
Tracy?
Yeah, this isn't as prepared as it should be because of all the...
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand what you said.
This isn't as prepared as it should be because we got to it much sooner than I expected, but I'll do the best I can in terms of what's going on. WPFW is still in the process of trying to find a location. They have identified an excellent site in Washington, D.C. that's owned by Gannett Publishing and are in the process of negotiating with that entity. If it works out, it looks like the space will be absolutely perfect for them. So there's a lot of hope that that will happen. WBAI in New York is also looking at the end of their lease in 2012. They are trying to identify some alternate locations. There are a couple of possibilities in Midtown Manhattan for lease options that they are exploring at this point in time. As people know, they have very large operating expense obligations where they currently are, both with their lease and their transmitter, that have made it very hard for them to break even, despite the fact that they have lifted their receipts by more than 25% in the past 2 years. That said, it would be really helpful if they could lower the raw expenses that they're operating under. And hopefully that will be the case in a year or two. Three divisions have submitted budgets. The Archives Division, which was first, Houston, and WPFW in Washington. We are still waiting on the rest of the budgets. The Archives in Houston budgets have been passed by the NFC and will be voted on by the PNB at the end of this month. The WPFW budget is in process through the NFC and will probably be finally approved on August 23rd. The next PNB meeting is September 23rd through 26th. It will be at the Channel Inn, 650 Water Street in Washington, D.C. It will begin on Thursday, September 23rd at 9 a.m. and end at 2 p.m. on Monday, September 26th. It will be a four-day meeting, one day longer than usual. Other than that, I think that's about it. The lawsuit of Lonnie Hicks versus the Pacifica Foundation has been settled, and I think that's about all there is to say.
I don't see the other member of the PMB in the room, no other members, so I think we'll move on. Let me explain to those of you who just came in that we moved public comments it's this is supposed to be right now. We got started and people weren't here, so we sort of messed around with the agenda a little bit. Let me suggest that we took the first committee report, which was the PMB report. I would like to suggest that we go back to the IGM report now, and sort of resume doing the agenda in order. Is that okay? And I want to make sure that the secretary has noted that members Kate Tanaka, Sasha Futron, and Henry Knorr and Jack Kurzweil have arrived after roll call. Yes, Sasha.
I don't know if this is the place to do it, but since we're just at the PNB report, I thought I might mention that the governance committee that I was elected to a month ago of the PNB is having a little problem governing.
Oh, good.
Governing. They can't. There's a meeting scheduled?
August 30th. The email went out yesterday.
I never received it.
Nor did you.
Okay. Well, there seems to be a little problem getting a meeting going, and I guess they've had one meeting so far all year in which they discussed what they might want to discuss in other meetings and set a date for a meeting, which no one convened. That is, they didn't arrange a conference call, and they didn't get a phone number out, and golly, I tried to tell people that I was on the committee and I volunteered to organize, you know, getting a meeting going, and I kept being told that Summer was the chair of the PNB in response to that, three times, I think, by Tracy. And anyway, that's the governing committee, and I think the governing committee is having a problem.
The governance committee is convening.
Excuse me. I didn't recognize you. Please ask to be recognized before you speak. Everybody, thank you very much.
It's kind of a point of personal privilege since my name came up a few times. I'm not the chair of the governance committee. Jessica Apollinar from Houston is the convener. She apologized several times for her time constraints. Do you want to hear the answer, Sasha?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to talk to yourself?
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Hold on. I'm chairing this meeting. I'll handle it. Tracy, please say what you have to say. Thank you.
Next meeting of the Governance Committee is 5:30 p.m. August 30th. The email went out yesterday to all the members of the Governance Committee. I will forward it to Sasha and Mal since, again, Jessica apologized. for her inabilities to convene the committee due
Thank
to
you.
Time constraints.
Okay.
And as I corrected several times, Summer Reese is not the chair of the governance
committee. I understand. Summer Reese is the chair of the PMB, however. Okay. Okay. So it's my understanding that Mal Bernstein and Sasha Futron, who are the elected members from this LSB to the governance committee, were not notified about that meeting. So I will send a message to the chair asking that they be added to the email list so that – please. Thank you. I will get in touch with the chair of the committee and make sure that our members are added to the email list so that they will be notified about meetings in the future. Okay. Some people weren't here when we started. We kind of messed around with the agenda. I would like to now go back to the agenda, which means we were at the point of the IGM report. And if Andrew is prepared, I think this would be the time for him to make the report. There's a microphone. You want to come up here? Come up here. This is fine.
Are there no public comments?
Yes. Public comments are later. We moved them to later in the agenda because there was only one person here when we started.
Do we have actually?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
As you all know, the summer fund drive finished a little while back. The total income was about $260,000. There's still money coming in. The goal was $300,000, so we came in approximately $26,000 short. I'm sorry, 16% short. We raised approximately $26,000 per day. The average pledge amount was about $90 per pledge average. Here are some other numbers which may help or inform relative to this fund drive and others, just to get a comparison. In July this year, an important number to look at is the total new members that we brought in and that we bring in at our membership drives, in my opinion. The total new members at this drive were 471 new members. The total number of members who pledged was 2,557. 1 year ago in July, the total number of new members that we brought in was 617, which is somewhat more than this year. The total number of pledges in July 2010 was 2,609. And going back to May, just to get a broader sense of this, in May 2011, this year, the total members who pledged, 7,300. And the new members in May this year, 1,646. Going back 1 year to 2010, the total members who pledged was less than this year by almost 2,000. The total number of members who pledged 2010 was 5,972. The total number of new members in 2010 was 1,449. So in May we got more members than last year. In July we got less members than last year relative to those numbers. The total number of members currently at KPFA is 19,700. In 2006, which was probably the apogee, the most recent apogee, when we had roughly a $4 million budget, let me catch up with myself. All right. Scrap that. The total budget projected for 2012 is $3,611,919, thereabouts. 7 years ago in 2006, our income touched on $4 million. about $400,000 more than we have today. So that's just an overview of where we're at. The current conditions at KPFA, as we know, the economy continues to slump. It's making it more difficult for community radio everywhere to attract listener dollars. WBAI suffered a similar slump in their recent membership drive. They came in also under their projected goals. So it's not surprising to me anyway that we came in somewhat less than we required. Also, our direct mail campaigns, here's some comparisons relative to that. Our July recent direct mail campaign, which costs roughly $8,000 to send out, has returned so far $24,000, and money will continue to come in on that. Going back 1 year to July in 2010, our direct mail campaign brought in $33,000, so substantially more, by almost $10,000 than so far has been brought in this year. Going back to 2009 in September, the mailing brought in $61,000. So our direct mail campaigns are slowly bringing in less dollars. Other potential revenue streams, we talked about this a little last time. We are exploring ways to bring in income through development, and that continues. I think I mentioned, I'll very briefly go through them, some of the ideas, and perhaps the most interesting so far, is reaching out to raise money and do some sweat equity in the Nakapan premises at 1921, which is the currently unoccupied space next door to KPFA and the Pacifica National Office, with a view perhaps, and this is tentative, perhaps to moving the apprenticeship program into that space. In addition, expanding our apprenticeship program to include more outreach to Native American and Hispanic heritage folks, with a view to establishing a Spanish language stream at KPFA, either and over the air and or certainly online. Now, these are projects which our development consultant, Kim Klein, has indicated she would be interested in, and we certainly are interested in discussing with relative to her input into KPFA. As we understand and know that actually the Caucasian population of this state is less than the Spanish-speaking population, and it seems this would be a very valuable outreach strategy. In addition, it's possible that we might, if we can raise the money, set up some kind of outreach premises in San Jose, which is a very large area of Spanish-speaking people, to increase the reach of KPFA into underserved elements of our potential market. The 20th anniversary coming up in October, I had mentioned this last time, is another potential outreach strategy to bring money into KPFA and, of course, to target larger donors. In October, which is the beginning of the next financial year, from the 4th to the 25th, we have an upcoming membership drive. Thank you.
I didn't say at the beginning that we've allocated 15 minutes for this report, so
okay.
And I'm sure there may be a few questions, so I just want to let you know that.
Well, I've nearly finished. Okay. In October 4th, 25, we're going to try and raise $700,000 in that upcoming membership drive. And the emphasis of the drive, we want to increase membership. The language that we use to describe drives as fundraisers, marathons, we want to really encourage our producers to reach out for membership, that new membership is really important. And the fact that we have a $90 average pledge on one hand is great, on the other hand it's quite a lot of money and many members simply cannot afford it, and we feel that if we can increase substantially the membership base by encouraging membership, that in the long run this will pay off with a broader based membership and a more stable station. We want to encourage all producers to take part in our membership drive. In the past at KPFA, and I'm not sure how long this has been so, but I was rather surprised to find that in the evenings we do not pitch during membership drives. So essentially from 8 o'clock at night until 6 in the morning for a period of 10 hours, we do not pledge or ask our overnight listeners to become members or to contribute to the station. Now, here's some rough arithmetic, and I point out it is a little bit rough. If we were to set a goal, say, of $500 per hour per overnight show, that would be the equivalent of each show bringing in 10 members at $50 per membership, which does not seem a great stretch. It seems possible, and as a possible average. If we were to do that, we would be raising $5,000 a night, which over a 10-day period would bring in an additional $50,000, which we currently don't bring in, and we would have, in fact, exceeded our goal had we have done that and had we have got that money. So I think there's a lot of potential at the station to bring in money to our overnights. I know when I was at WBAI, we certainly did that. I know Roy of Hollywood does that constantly down in Los Angeles, brings in that kind of money. We don't, so I'm suggesting we do that in the future. There would be some minor additional costs for overnight staffing of of the phone room, perhaps, although volunteers could well do that. We are still investigating web presence. I think that's about it. I'm sure questions will be asked about Santa Cruz. We're expecting engineer Don Mussel to put that facility, that 10-watt transmitter, in the middle of September. And I'll pass it back to you.
Thanks, Andrew. Are there questions or comments? Okay. Okay, so I see Mal Bernstein, Sasha Futron, and David Gans. Okay, go ahead, Mal.
I have two questions and a comment. The questions are, you mentioned in passing something about a development director or development consultant. I don't remember any such person being in the current year's budget. Can you tell me anything about the finances of that? That's question one. Question two, you were going to get the comparison membership number for 2006, but then you didn't, and you went on to something else. Current membership number is 19,700. What was the number for 6? I believe it was over 22,000, but I'll let you answer that. And the comment is that you discussed what producers could do during fundraising, but as I understand it, you did not meet with producers before this fund drive to discuss what would or should happen.
I'm sorry, I need to point out that in about 2 minutes we're going to run to the end of the 15 minutes for this item, and so I would like a motion
I move that
to
we extend
for how long?
I would go 10.
10 minutes? Okay.
Yes.
Second, are there any objections to extending the discussion period on this item for 10 minutes? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so the next person on the list is David Gans. I'm sorry. Pardon me, Andrew. Yes, you should answer Mal's questions, and then we'll move on.
I think the first question was that the membership, the total membership 2006 was 23,264. Thank you. In terms of not meeting with producers, partially true. I don't think that had a big effect on whether we did or didn't make money. I mean, my sense is that we have producers at KPFA who have been there for 25 and 30 years, had far more experience actually with running membership drive, their own programs, than I certainly have, and should by now know how to pitch a membership drive, and it wouldn't have made very much difference. We did have some very successful programs. We had The Cost of War, which is an outstanding program, I would submit. And whilst it did not make a huge amount of money, it was a very, very good program, and there were others as well that we encouraged our producers to work on. The conventional wisdom is, and I would agree, that our normal strong pitchers like Mitch Jeserich did a great job, Brian Edwards, Tikit, was on leave during the membership drive, and I didn't know that he was on leave, actually, because nothing came across my desk to tell me that. I'm still trying to ascertain how and why that happened. Would it have made any difference? I doubt that it would have. I would submit that a 16% decrease in fundraising is not bad in this very depressed economy. And further, that if we had, and if we do use our overnight in a creative way, we can, in fact, bring substantial more money into our fund drive. Was there another question?
Yes. Funds for development.
Funds, yes, got it. It is included in the budget. I believe the amount is $50,000.
Dave. Oh, you're right, Sasha.
Yes, hi. I'm sorry, I was talking while you were giving your report, but actually I was asking a question, which I'll now ask of you. You made mention of 20th anniversary of something in October. I'm wondering what that was. The building, you think?
Is that it? Yes, the building is
okay.
The premises. It's the 20th anniversary.
Okay. And then the other question, I don't know if there's $50,000 actually in the budget for Kim Klein, but I guess we'll get to that when we talk about the budget. But I wasn't clear. You want to hire Kim Klein to do outreach to Latino and Native American populations, or for what exactly?
I don't want Kim Klein to become like the touchstone of everything. I mean, we've had one meeting with her. She's been on vacation. We're due to have another meeting perhaps this or next week before the end of August, certainly. She could be seen as a development coach. We haven't finalized our arrangement with her, but amongst the projects that excited her was the one I mentioned, that of reaching out to the Spanish American and Native American populations to increase membership.
As a development tool? This is she's a development director, so this is how we're going to raise money from Latino populations and Native Americans?
Well, membership equals potential money. I think the both are interrelated. It's not the only thing that we're thinking about. It's one of the things, and I think one of the most exciting potential development strategies to increase our membership.
Sasha, are you done? Okay, thank you. Next is David Gantz.
Okay, first of all, for the record, I pitch between 8 and 10 p.m. on my show, so your facts are wrong right there by 2 hours. And as far as I know, every weeknight pitching goes at least until 10 o'clock. It would be nice if pitching went later, and I agree with you that pitching overnight shows is a good idea, but you should really get your facts straight before you make these kind of statements. Secondly, when you spoke about this whole Spanish language thing at the meeting on Thursday, Brian Edwards-Tiekert laid out a whole bunch of very, very useful facts that pointed to the futility of adding yet another programming outlet in a market that's already pretty well served by other major media. And after the meeting ended, he said to a small group of people, myself included, that not only that, San Jose isn't the Latino capital that you portray it to be. It's actually got less of a Latino population per capita than some other regions. Thirdly, you're an interim general manager, and I think your primary mission at this point should be keeping the fucking station alive and not with this damn pie-in-the-sky future stuff. Thank you.
Next is Pam, followed by Laura. Oh, yes, you're on the list.
Can I make a response, Madam Chair?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. The weekends don't pitch from 6 o'clock. I said an average. Perhaps you didn't hear that. And I know that you are a very fine pitcher. You've raised a lot of money for the station, and I commend you for that, David. There are other people who perhaps could work as hard as you pitching, and it would be great, and maybe we would make more money for the station. That was an average. As you know, people on the weekends don't pitch from 8 o'clock. In fact, we stop at 6 o'clock on the weekends. The Spanish language population of this state, as I pointed out, and I'm sure you know, is very large and significant. And I'm surprised if you don't know, that most Spanish language is extremely conservative and basically selling liquor and Viagra, it's a totally different market, and there is no one in the entire state reaching out to the progressive Spanish community, of which I think you must agree is quite substantial. And KPFA, the voice of the voiceless, could be and should be doing that, and it's actually surprising that we haven't done it before, I would submit.
Thank you. Pam, followed by Laura Privis.
Okay, I did hear the same talk on Thursday, and I was a little confused, surprised, shocked. I have never been a development director, but my understanding is a development means raising money for the existing programming and for what we need to pay for what we have now. It's not actually going out and looking for new things that we have to fund, which is what you were actually talking about, things that are, I don't know if you're prepared to go out and work on these things. I don't know who is. And I think trying for Spanish language when we right now aren't paying for what we've got to the extent that we should be to protect ourselves is anything to do with development. So I thought development would mean that you and Arlene had actually promised us personally that she would be out fundraising, and you should be also fundraising from at least the big donors. That's my understanding of it. In terms of management and looking for other things to manage, I heard at least four people there yesterday say specific things that you had not managed during the fund drive that probably would have resulted in us raising the amount of funds that had been projected. They had very specific complaints. Among them were the fact that you don't have a style that sets up a process for people to talk to you about different things, and you suggest to them that they chat with you in the hallways or they call a meeting. To me, that's sort of like if I'm the parent, which I have been, and the child comes to me and says, isn't it time for dinner? And the parent says, well, yeah, let me know when you get hungry and we'll think about that. It's not really management, so I'm concerned. I really heard very specific, and I want to know, and maybe not today, but in the future, if you're still here or still interested in this job beyond interim, how you're going to fix that in terms of actually working directly with staff. We have time to work for the next fundraising pitch, and we need to be working on that and not looking for other grandiose projects that we have nobody to actually pull off.
Can I suggest that maybe we take two speakers and then you respond? Is that okay?
All right.
So the next speaker is Laura.
Okay. I guess my biggest question, I'm going to say a couple things after it, but I'm wondering to know what you're going to be doing to plan for this next drive that happens in October. I want to know what you learned from this drive. I know that this was the very first drive where paid staff did not step in at the 8 a.m. hour and do pitching, and the volunteers who were doing the 8 a.m. hour did pitching along with you, Andrew. I think there's many different things that you didn't do in this drive that we could have done in this drive to make more money, including extending the drive for another day, which probably would have alone brought in much of the shortfall. I know that there wasn't any promotion at all. I asked for carts to be made. I told people that carts were made in the past, that we promoted drives, that we rallied all of the people, paid and unpaid, to get enthusiastic about the drive, to find a theme that we could express to our listeners why the station is important, which we do every drive. That was not done. So I think we really also need a postmortem meeting about this drive to go through specifically everything that fell through the cracks during this drive, way things that were arranged. But especially the 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. slot is not making the money that it did in the past. And I think that needs to be fixed. I want to know how you're going to do that. And I want to know how this next drive is going to be, how you're going to plan to make this next drive the best that it possibly can be.
We did. Pam and Laura, and now now Andrew's going to respond. And the people left on the list are Tracy, Jack, and Andrea, and I'm going to have to ask for another extension of time after Andrew responds. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, let me first say it's all very well for folks to talk about you and me. It's not you and me, it's us. All right, let's get that straight for a start. I thought this was a community station. That's what I thought it was. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe it's all about the manager or the interim manager, and that the interim manager should be doing all the carts and all the promo for the producers. And that's kind of ridiculous, obviously. The producers have been at the station for many years. If they don't know and are incapable of doing the carts for their own programs or disinterested, that's not up to me, that's up to them. We do encourage, I have encouraged people to do it. I've said it at staff meetings. I've talked for producers asking for their willingness to cooperate with one another. And I just think it's not accurate or appropriate to think that, quote-unquote, the general manager, that's very easy to hit up on the general manager. Well, that's okay. I can take it. No problem. But it's not going to get us any further. Until we work as a team, as a station, as a community station, then this sort of rancorous business is going to continue. So I would suggest that. Postmortems, we've had in the past week two meetings, two staff meetings. They constitute a postmortem, and out of those meetings came a lot of good information. One is that we're going to be setting up a weekly editorial meeting to continue more interchange, because this was called for from some members of the staff, and I'm very happy to do that. That notice will be going out on Monday. Extending the drive another day would have brought in another $20,000 perhaps, which is a substantial amount of money on one hand but not much on the other, and it's beating up on the listeners even more. And frankly, I don't think it was appropriate to do it. I think we found that it was very difficult raising money anyway. To keep on beating, quote-unquote, a dead horse, I don't think is good politics, and I don't think it's good management. I think that we need to be driving forward into our next membership drive. We do have a plan. It comes into the next financial year in October. And part of the plan you heard today is that there will be more overnight pitching this time. For the first time in history, I haven't heard other managers suggest that, which again really surprises me. And in terms of raising money, I understood that the LSB had a big responsibility, Pamela, for raising money also. And I would just wonder how much the LSB has raised, or you have raised, if we want to be personal, as you seem to be, toward me. I am trying to get money into the station. I didn't see anyone reach out for development people with the calibre of Kim Kline before. Now we have. I hope we can move forward. Development's an important part of it, and it does include development of audience. Audience equals money. Expecting wealthy people with deep pockets to constantly underwrite and fund the station is not a realistic approach, I would suggest. Reaching out for more membership, $25 a head, instead of having 19,000 members, having 60,000 members or 40,000 members or 50,000 members from smaller amounts of money will make a much more stable and a much more authentically community radio station in the future.
It's been moved and seconded to extend time for 10 minutes. Is there any objection? All right, thank you. I have on the list now Tracy, Jack, and Andrea. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the list? Dan Siegel. Okay, so after Tracy and Jack speak, and Cynthia Johnson. After Tracy and Jack speak, then we'll ask Andrew to respond if he wants to. And again, after Andrea and Dan speak, so on. That's the pattern. Okay.
Okay, a couple of things that I'm going to want you to respond here on, Andrew, and a couple of things that I'm just kind of noting for the record. Thank you for bringing some accurate Fund Drive data to these proceedings. Data is really useful. I'm a fan of numbers, and I think it tells us some fairly important things. I'm just going to go over these numbers to make sure that I got them correctly, because you were nice enough to bring us the information for the last full Fund Drive, which we embarked upon in May of 2011, and the one 12 months before in May 2010. Just to note, the May 2010 Fund Drive reaped a total of $660,000. The May 2011 Fund Drive reaped a total of $743,000. The May 2010 Fund Drive, I believe, came up $90,000 short of goal. It's really encouraging to hear that year over year, over 12 months, we had an increase of 1,400 in the number of pledges and an increase of 200 new members. I realize there's a lot of doomsday and carrying on, but I think it's important to focus on those numbers and also important to celebrate our successes where we have them. The word disaster and catastrophe and all the rest of it can clearly be applied to the May 2010 fundraiser as well, which came up more than twice as short of goal. And in a fundraiser, the spring fund drive, that is considerably more important to our general operations and covers a much larger chunk of our annual budget. So the hand-wringing we are currently engaging in was noticeably absent in the spring of 2010. Two other things. I think it would be really helpful, and I don't know whether she'll do it or not, but I would like to sort of put it out there. I think that we need Kim Klein to come in and talk to this board a bit about what development is. For those who don't know who Kim is, you might want to Google her. She's one of the foremost, she's the foremost nonprofit development consultant in the country, bar none. The raves for her work are legion. And frankly, if she is willing to work with us, we are a lucky organization. She works with relatively few not-for-profit organizations at this point in time. It's an extraordinary gift to this organization. And what she knows about development, the rest of us would be lucky to learn in 500 lifetimes. She is a foremost noted expert. In terms, so I really think that if she could be troubled to come here and maybe give us 30 minutes of her wisdom, that that would be a great service to the board. In terms of, you know, Spanish language programming, I would love to see 1921 MLK used for something. The apprenticeship program certainly seems like a very tangible option there. And if that were combined with a significant outreach to Spanish populations, I can see why Kim finds that exciting. And I think it is beyond obvious that much of the progressive community would find that terribly exciting as well. The primary development challenge for any not-for-profit organization is to forecast programs and expansions and visions for the future that excite donors, give us money so we can keep doing what we've done before, almost never works. Kim, of course, can say this with far more authority than I can, but the tone that I've been hearing, that it is somehow irresponsible to look for visions that will attract funders, that it is somehow irresponsible to think about the job in which you are engaged rather than going round and round like a hamster wheel, especially for an organization that lost more than $500,000 for two consecutive years, which obviously meant that the hamster wheel needed a bit of tuning, really doesn't make an awful lot of sense. So
are you almost done?
I'm finishing up. Thank you. You don't need to interrupt. Right. But I'm really excited to hear some thought going on here. And I guess the question that I have for you is whether you think Kim would be able to come and talk to the board a bit about development strategies for an organization like Pacifica, if she would be willing to do that. And other than that, thanks.
The next person on the list is Jack. I want to ask people to keep their remarks brief. We extended this period for 10 minutes. There are several people who wish to speak, and I think it really behooves us to speak briefly and to the point so that we can get through this and everyone can have a chance to ask their questions and Andrew can have an opportunity to respond. Thank you.
Me?
Yes.
So first, I'd like to ask if a resolution is in order.
At the end of the report, certainly, if you want to make a motion.
I would like to make a motion. And if
that's what you want to do, let me put you on the end of the list and we'll do it
fine.
At the end. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So next is Andrea Turner.
While I'm, Tracy, you brought up some good points in terms of Klein having her on, bringing her on, so that we can all sit down and talk with her. I totally agree with that. What I'm mainly, and you mentioned something about thoughts, and what I'm mainly concerned about is process. You brought up the issue that that there's rancor and that kind of thing, and that there's no we or team building. As a manager, we have to work to build a team and not just say team for team's sake. I've been past that too as a manager, where I'll say team, but it doesn't make team unless we work to make team. The we, I believe we're all in it, and throwing at us that we haven't raised monies as a board, I think that's something that we need to work towards and that we will work towards it. Having a positive approach to management style really helps others to become involved in the process, and a lot of people have been excluded. I'm concerned about the thought process. In terms of the Arbitron ratings, they're down versus how do you come up with the making a goal of, I believe it was 700,000. Was that just out of the air when we're not meeting our goals, and are we setting ourselves up for failure by saying 700,000 versus looking at the Arbitron ratings, looking at the membership, and over an overall period, we're just, it's declining. I want to go to the positive, but I just need to know who makes the decision on the goals, goal setting for the drives, because it seems extremely high. Okay.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. The goal, Andrea, is made, discussed in meetings, in one of those in membership drive meetings that we actually do have. The impression here is that we don't have them, but we do. And that is a combined of the premiums office, Phil Osageda and Chris Stalig. Laura's been at those meetings, myself, the program director, and that is not a firm goal. I think the last goal was $800,000.
How is it set?
It's set based on looking at the projected income from the budget to try and reach projected goals, and fine-tuned relative to the instincts of those concerned and the actual economy, how it's doing. In fact, I think the previous goal was $800,000, and given the state and the fact that we didn't reach it, it was lowered to $700,000. And it may go up a little bit, it may come down a little bit, but, you know, we need to make a certain amount of money to keep the ship moving forward, obviously. Arbitron ratings, I want to talk very briefly about that. They're an extremely inaccurate way of measuring community radio particularly, and I think actually it would be really valuable to bring someone into the meeting that actually has studied Arbitrons and to give a better explanation than I. Arbitrons are not related to non-commercial stations. It's very much related to commercial stations, so that advertising agencies and stations can encourage their corporate underwriters or advertisers to take part or not in the station's proceedings. So it's not a very accurate way, and our numbers are so small they don't really tell us very much, I would suggest. Okay, thank you.
Well, okay, so we have a problem. We have there are four people left on the list, and Jack indicated that he had a motion to make.
Yeah, motion to extend for 10.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Are there any objections to its extending for 10 minutes? All right. Thank you. Let me tell you who's on the list. Dan Siegel, Cynthia Johnson, Sasha Futron, and then Jack said he wanted to make a motion, so I'm putting him at the end. Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Sharm.
Can I just have a minute on the stack? I mean, can I be on the stack? Can you add somebody to the stack?
Yeah, okay,
just
sure.
A minute. It would be quick.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. So I'm sorry. Andrew, were you finished responding at that point? Were you finished responding? Specifically, I was interested in the question about Kim Klein.
Excuse me, I was just going through some LSB shock.
It's okay. It's all right.
Kim Klein, I don't know whether she will come to the LSB or not. It wasn't, we would have to ask her. If she did come, I'm sure she would want to be paid accordingly. Again, I said at the beginning when I introduced her name for the second or third time at these meetings, I don't want to make her seem like the be-all of saving KPFA or whatever. She's just a human being, and she's a good person, and she has a lot of ability, and she's got a lot of ideas. And she did point out, I repeat, that one of the reasons we're looking at other issues other than the overall development of KPFA is because the reputation of KPFA is so bad out there in the community that we're not going to raise money by pitching KPFA per se. We need to find specifically targeted projects in parallel with the station itself, we believe, to enable us to actually have some success.
Okay, thank you. So now we have Dan Siegel followed by Cynthia Johnson.
Okay. Yep. First of all, I welcome Kim Klein's input, all right, and whether she comes to a meeting or speaks to Andrew or meets with people on the side, that's fine. The flip side of that, though, is I tend to believe that collectively the people in the room and Pacifica have so much experience over the last, 65 years raising money that there aren't really going to be any new ideas or very new ideas. Maybe there'll be variations on old ideas. But it seems to me that what we really need to do is the development work, not brainstorm about it. So I hope that the work is part of the plan. The other thing I want to say, and I know this is controversial, but and that there are a lot of reasons that we could point to besides the economy and everything else that's hurting our fundraising, but the elephant in the room in my mind is the quality of what's on the air, that the people will contribute if they like the programming, right? And they will contribute if they think we're relevant, and particularly new audiences, whether it's Spanish-speaking people or young people. If they turn on KPFA or look on the website and see things they like, they will be inclined to contribute. And we have gone through what seems to be an ongoing, frankly, purge of some of our best programming. And, you know, it gets back to the morning show, it gets back to David Bacon, it gets back to Sonali possibly being taken off the air. Andrew, I think that you have to speak to the question of our programming and how you think it's impacting our fundraising and why it is that we continue to eliminate people who, you know, not only some of us like, but who historically have proven to be excellent fundraisers for us.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Cynthia, and then we'll ask Andrew to respond.
as an elderly 68-year-old, I never get headaches. I'm extremely healthy in general. But I always get a headache when I come. I don't always get a headache. I've gotten a headache today because it is so obvious, Dan. There is another elephant in the room, and we all know what it is this constant criticism. I did not go to LSB meetings when I was not on the board, but I started to come a little bit. I never saw the general manager here. I never saw a discussion of the... All I see now since I've been on the board and those mindless emails I get, which I don't read, I do read them because I want to see what the listeners are talking about. But who are those listeners? Those are the listeners who do nothing but criticize, and that is what I feel CL and Save KPFA does, and that's the other elephant in the room. Our quality of programming has gone down. Yes, 6 to 9 didn't get the money, and Andrew told us the other night that 8 to 9 has only a 25% listening audience. Is that about one job? Are we going to sacrifice a network? Because I'd like to look everybody in the face who does this kind of criticism. I agree with you, Andrea. I agree with you, Dan. We can't talk about a team when you are criticizing. Here is somebody who was willing to meet with people. I don't know if the previous GMs were willing to meet with people. But it seems like he is. It seems like he's doing a good job, and yet all he gets, unfortunately, he has thick skin, and I hope he'll stay around. But, I mean, that is the elephant in the room. Why not help those people who are there 8 to 9 rather than talk about how bad they are and that Mr. Tikrit must have his job or we're all going to collapse? Yes, he's a skilled person, and he got his job by bumping somebody. So there he, I mean, these are the things that the people who talk and don't who say they'll never support KPFA again, I mean, that's the reason we don't have, that's one reason we don't have the kind of programming we need, because we've got to be that team, but you just can't talk about those words. And anyway, I'm sure the things I'm saying are obviously obvious, but when you keep hearing these things, it's just hard to take. And yes, that's what Frederick Douglass said. It's called struggle. But can't these smart people be a little supportive instead of talking about same old things all the time, like I'm doing too?